Window World, the official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs, presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at windowskansascity.com.
Happy Friday, as the weekend is upon us. I hope you have some nice plans. Summer in full swing. Enjoy yourself, spend some time with family, friends, and live it up a little bit if you get a chance. Put all of your troubles and worries and problems and things that we see over and over and over just behind you, even if only for 24 hours or something. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. We start this episode of KKHI with a continued historic season for the Kansas Jayhawks basketball program, national champions for 21-22, and a big night at the NBA draft for Ochai Agbaji and Christian Brown, both local products who played together on the MOCAN AAU team for several years here in the Kansas City area, taken very high in the draft in the first round. This was pretty remarkable for both of these players, and I'll give you the individual circumstance for each that led to this night being such a wonderful and unbelievable individual outcome for two players that were great teammates for a long time together that won a national championship in college. We'll start with Ochai Agbaji, who was a very late recruit for the Kansas Jayhawks. If you recall, several years ago, Agbaji was busy growing, I don't know, what'd they say, 8-9 inches between his freshman and junior years in high school. He was never really on KU's radar. Plenty of other schools were looking at him, but he wasn't thought to be some first-round NBA player, that's for sure. Bill Self heard of him fairly late. He famously took Larry Brown with him on a recruiting visit to watch Ochai Agbaji play. And I think within a week's time, if I'm not wrong, within a couple of weeks' time anyway, they decided pretty quickly, yeah, we want him. A lot of why they wanted him was they didn't want him to go elsewhere. Bill Self will do that. Local kid, let's take him, let's get him. He fits, he's good. But they never thought Ochai Agbaji was the 14th pick in the draft. Agbaji, comparing to his other offers, made the easy decision to go to Kansas. Same with Christian Brown. There were other offers. Kansas State was on him. And there was a feeling with him, we can't really let a Kansas kid go somewhere else and beat us. Let's go get him. And I don't think anybody that I know ever thought Christian Brown was going to be a first-round draft choice in the NBA. His individual story is even more unique. A white kid from Kansas getting drafted in the first round of the NBA is an exceedingly rare thing. Very rare. But he's incredibly athletic. He's got some sort of it's not karma, it's not magic. He's got an attitude about him, a moxie. That's an old-fashioned word. He's got a moxie about his game that bleeds over to his teammates, and you can see it. It's palpable. He's the kind of guy that makes people on the team better. And while he certainly had shooting droughts and games where you thought, wow, he's just, is he getting better? Is he better than last year? You'd ask that. There would be moments in games where Christian Brown was the best player on the floor for 2 or 3 minutes because he'd get a steal, he'd break away, he'd lay it in, he'd go back, he'd play defense, he'd force a turnover, he'd come down, he'd hit a three, and you'd say, wow, look how active he is. When Christian Brown's at his best, he's a very active player. When Ochai Agbaji is at his best, he was just the best player on the floor for long stretches of the game. Best scorer, best shooter. You watched him play. He's smooth. It passes the eye test completely. Agbaji goes number 14 to Cleveland. Brown goes number 21 to Denver. And Bill Self, who was at the draft on Thursday night in New York, said it was life-changing in seconds for these two young guys. And what I like best about both of them, really, you hear this said a lot in sports. Oh, they're good kids. They're good young men. They're good this, they're good that. You wouldn't really think that about Brown from watching him play. Christian Brown really is the kind of player that you only like if he's on your team. Everyone else dislikes him because he's kind of a punk out there. He likes to start stuff and talk smack and all that. But by all accounts, that's not really who he is. That's his game face. I like that in a player. I've always liked that. I don't need you out there fraternizing with the other team, trying to be best friends with somebody on your rival roster. Go play. Get gritty. Do it within the confines of the rules of the game. Don't be a dirty player, but go ahead and have all the personality you want. If that's what helps your teammates rise and helps your team win, go be that guy. But Brown's that guy. He's a guy that if he plays on your team, you love him. If he doesn't play on your team, you're like, ugh. So you hear this about him, and it doesn't make sense. But Bill Self said, this was life-changing in seconds, and these are two of the best people he's ever coached. He said, they're both exactly what you would want your son to be. We hear that a lot in sports. We hear it too often in sports. I believe this. I believe that with both of these. You know, Agbaji was just a star last night at the draft. The interviews that he did, the way he conducts himself, his personality, his humbleness, just the real deal. You really have to like the futures of both these players who are said to just be outstanding young men. And I thought Bill Self said it absolutely right. You know, you made the right choice. You went to Kansas, you won a national title, you got drafted in the first round. How good is that? And how great was this year for the Kansas Jayhawks? Simply sensational, capped off by a couple of guys who I don't think when either one of them signed at Kansas, anybody in their wildest dreams would have thought either one of these guys was a first-round draft pick, and yet there they are. Pretty cool stuff. The draft itself, very hard to watch. I'm going to assume that most of you did not. And if you did, you were probably surfing around or trying to find out, hey, is my Kansas player getting picked or whatever. This was impossible. In the NBA draft, you know, there's so many trades on draft night and so many things going on. The actual anchors, Stephen A. Smith was over the top. They had a moment where an announcement of a trade was made and involved the Knicks, and they got the rights to a player at number 13, and then they didn't understand what the trade was, and they came back out on the set, and there's four of them. There's the anchor dude. There's a woman who I don't know who she was. There's like Jalen Rose and Stephen A. Smith. And they come out, and they're all confused. And, of course, Stephen A. is there to be the show. And he's like, my Knicks finally got a player. We finally got, there's a player. And then he gets interrupted by the anchor guy and says, no, they didn't get a player. They got the rights to this, but it got traded to Houston. They were all confused. And then they all stopped, and you could tell they were all being spoken to in their ears. Nobody knows what the heck is going on with the NBA draft. It is impossible. Now, we'll watch and see what trades have been made afterwards, because it's not unusual for a player to be drafted. You think you're going to, you know, Boston, and then the next day you find out you're headed to Milwaukee. It's this very, very strange draft, very hard to watch. The coverage of it, the ESPN coverage was just dreadful. The lack of talent on ESPN and ABC for this draft was noticeable. And it was pretty obvious that it was kind of an afterthought thing. Let's throw Stephen A. on here and just let him carry the thing and see what happens. Very confusing, very hard to follow and watch. The players aren't as well known as they used to be. Duke had a bunch of guys drafted. If you follow college basketball, you knew the Duke guys. But it's hard because everybody tries to be the NFL, and it just isn't the NFL draft. I thought all in all, the players, the player interviews, and you know when they talked about their past and whatnot, they were generally likable. You liked the young athletes. You were happy for them. Their families were there. They all seemed excited. That part of the visual and everything was very, very good. Was very good. And nowhere did that stand out more than with the two Kansas Jayhawks taken in the first round. Ochai Agbaji to Cleveland, Christian Brown to Denver. Okay, Kansas City, as we know, is a world-class city now that the World Cup is coming in 2026. And we should all just be so excited, shouldn't we, that the Washington Post, that beacon of journalism, the pillar, you know, the mountaintop of all things that we need to know and need to be, the Washington Post has written a story, the biggest winner of the World Cup is Kansas City. That's right. The biggest winner of the World Cup is Kansas City. And the story says, soccer, soccer, soccer. Kansas City gets it. They're in the heartland. Housing is more affordable, and it's more important than ever. Omaha, Des Moines, and Wichita are only all within 3 hours. This is, you know, the migration growth in America, translation, open borders, are filling up the Midwest, the heartland, with immigrants from all over the world. The story goes on to say, Kansas City is positioning itself with this bid, as the shining example of the new heartland and cultural hub. That is the goal. Now that we have the World Cup, illegals will pour across the border and say, Kansas City's where we got to go. They love soccer. this racist piece in the Washington Post basically says all these people pouring across the border from all these Spanish-speaking lands love soccer, and now that Kansas City has the World Cup, that's where they're going. They're going to flood to Kansas City. Kansas City's going to be better than all the other Midwestern cities. They beat out Detroit. They beat out Chicago. Kansas City's going to be better than all of them because they welcome the world, because they love soccer. They have a sign open that says, illegals come here. You love soccer. We are the new heartland and the cultural hub. Cultural hub is code word for illegal aliens. It is. I mean, you really have to watch what liberal journalism does. When they come up with something like Kansas City as a cultural hub, what they're saying is soft landing spot for illegal aliens. Perfect place. They write it. They hope these people in other countries see it. They hope it gains traction. The Washington Post clearly is saying when you cross the border illegally, you don't have to stay in Texas. Go on up to Kansas City, but for God's sake, don't come here. Stay away from D.C. There's Republicans here that will come after you. Well, you know what their game is. They've got D.C. If they can flood enough illegals into Kansas and Missouri, and eventually those that they have children, their belief is Kansas and Missouri will turn Democrat. That's basically what this story is without saying it, because everything in the Washington Post is that. But if Kansas City wanted attention, if you want to win something, if you want to feel world class, and you want to have liberal rags like the Washington Post declare you the winner of the World Cup at this point, then there you have it. And every time you read one of these things, it reads like the local authorities wrote a press release for them. And you should really be thinking, again, I'm cool with the World Cup being here. I like having the event. I think it's fine for Kansas City. What it means culturally for the new heartland or for us as a hub, or what we're on a hook for paying for, are completely different items. And what we're seeing is the reaction from the left is over the top exuberance. Everything is good. Most of the reaction from the right is a big giant yawn. Okay, well, we don't really like soccer that much. Big deal. How are the Chiefs going to do this year? You know, one of those things. But the media outlets like myself and some others are asking questions, where's the money going to come from? Cliff Illig does an interview this week. Cliff Illig is the owner of Sporting Kansas City. He's the Cerner billionaire who wanted to get this here because soccer is his toy. He says this was important for Kansas City, and here's why. I want you to hear this term, and I like Cliff Illig. I've known him for years. I like him, but this quote is absolutely remarkable. Illig said, getting the World Cup will, quote, amplify our long-term potential, unquote. So these guys believe they have done something so revolutionary, so profoundly cutting edge, that Kansas City will be forever changed. That's kind of what the Washington Post was writing. Cliff Illig's politics aren't far left. His partner, Neil Patterson, who was the original founder of Cerner and the driving force behind it, Cliff obviously had a role, but was the number two guy all through the years. Neil Patterson, who is no longer with us, was a staunch conservative, a follower of Ayn Rand. Atlas Shrugged, his favorite book. And he knew, he got it. Neil Patterson got it. I didn't spend a lot of time around Neil Patterson. I once had breakfast with Neil Patterson and Tom Watson before an event at Loch Lloyd when Watson opened his new nine. It was one of the most crystal clear, enlightening moments of my entire life. We sat there for maybe 30, 40 minutes. Didn't have much. I think I had like a bagel, glass of orange juice or something. We were talking briefly about the events of the day that I was emceeing. And to sit there with Neil Patterson, the greatest businessman and conservative in Kansas City, and Tom Watson, one of the greatest golfers of all time, and perhaps the greatest athlete ever from Kansas City, and share that breakfast, just the three of us at one table, was absolutely remarkable. Neil Patterson was a visionary and great. And I understand Cliff Illig has chased that and will keep chasing that. And I appreciate all of the wonderful things that Cliff Illig has done in Kansas City, the jobs he's created, the millionaires that have been made through Cerner, the charitable endeavors that he's undertaken. He's a good man. They do a lot of good things. I don't see how we take the World Cup and this fundamentally changes our city, amplifying our long-term potential as a new heartland and cultural hub. And if that is their goal, who among us voted for that? Who among us wanted that? If the World Cup has the power to do that, is that something you want? These are big questions. We got 4 years, folks, before that thing is here. There will be a lot happening in 4 years. And $50 million for Arrowhead is just the tip of the iceberg. So I've called it the bait and switch. There's a million things you could call this thing. We're going to keep our eye on this every step of the way. I can promise you that. And if we can make a difference, we will. And if there's a time we do kind of a call to action with the listener base here, we'll do that. Because I don't think we should have to pay for this. I just don't. I don't think it's that popular. Why would Kansas Cityans, why would us as taxpayers have to come up with money to pay for something we're not going to attend? And we really won't even watch. It's going to be countries that we've never heard of playing, players we don't know. It'll be on TV. Maybe we'll look to see what Arrowhead looks like. A few thousand Kansas Cityans will go to Arrowhead, but it'll mostly be people from all over the world or all over the country. I don't get it. But you know the theme here of the podcast is we got to watch the liberal left to find out what the hell's going on. We have to read between the lines of everything that they write and say and try to figure it out. And now we know. A week later, now we know. Cliff Illig, amplify our long-term potential. Washington Post, the new heartland and cultural hub. You see what's going on here, don't you? You see what they want, right? Have I painted the clear picture for you of what the liberal left in D.C., New York, L.A. want for Kansas City? They've targeted this city, said there's a state line running right through it. If we can flood it with all kinds of people from all over the world, we can change those states because those aren't big states. If we can change a city, if we can do it right here in one city with two states, wow, what fertile ground to swing elections. Kansas City. Because the states are ridiculously reliably red at this point. And I think they're looking at it going, there's not enough people in those two states that we can't change this. Flood that city with migrants. I mean, how much clearer could it be? It's exactly what they're saying. Okay, KKHI is brought to you by Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, and Excelsior Springs. It's a great weekend to get a new ride. If you're looking for a Chevy Silverado or GMC Sierra, order it from Roberts Robinson. Have it built exactly to your specifications. Get the low interest rate. Get 0% financing on most GMC and Buick vehicles. And get your free lifetime warranty. There's over 60 new and used vehicles inventory right now ready to drive off the lot. Or put your order in today for that new car or truck before prices or availability change. Don't forget this fall, the new electric Silverado is coming. Game changer for all trucks. Call them at Roberts Robinson and find out more. You can get on the waiting list, order it up, and get ready to rock at robertsrobinson.com. 360 Document Solutions, online at 360documentsolutions.com. Many of our other sponsors have already called Mark at 360, and he has helped them around their offices become more productive and efficient. He can do the same for you. It's good for any business in Western Missouri or anywhere in the state of Kansas. Any of your document solutions, IT, phone systems, mail systems, they've got the best equipment, lowest prices, most efficiency. They can get you out of your current leases and your more expensive stuff. If you have HP, get rid of it. You're overpaying. HP, copiers, and toner, too much. Bye-bye. Mark can help you save money. Dump the expensive copiers. 360documentsolutions.com. Bstock.net, Samsung QLED 65-inch televisions, 30% less than Best Buy, just $7.99. That's all you got to know. Everything at Bstock is 100% guaranteed to be less than anywhere else you can find it. It's true. It's too good to be true is what it is. But it is 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe or online at bstock.net. And Dr. Jeremy at Fry Orthodontics, I've been emailing I mentioned last week, earlier this week, he had a 13-year-old in his chair. And I've been emailing with the 13-year-old and the 13-year-old's mom. These sound like wonderful people. They love the podcast. They're great conservatives. This is already I love hearing from 13-year-old conservatives, first of all. There's nothing that makes your day. You will never feel better than hosting a podcast and exchanging emails with a 13-year-old conservative. There's nothing that will make you feel better than that. It's just the greatest. And, you know, the response from this young person was, I can't believe you're emailing me back. And I was like, this is the most fun I've had in a long time. Yes, way to go. Stick with the plan. You're going to crush it in life. I can already tell it. The things that are in the email, the way you think, you know, the way you're so far ahead of the other 13-year-olds, it's just going to be great. Anyway, I got off track here. Fry Orthodontics is who I'm talking about. Dr. Jeremy's cool like that, and he's really, really great with the teenagers, as are all the orthodontists at Fry Orthodontics. The entire team is quite remarkable. At Fry Orthodontics, your smile is just the start. Manny Ramirez made me smile. The former Red Sox star was on a Red Sox Tigers broadcast. He's going into the Red Sox Hall of Fame or something, right? So they had him on during the game, and he was over the top being thankful that he played for the Red Sox. He's like, you know, playing for the Red Sox changes your career. You play here, you play for the Red Sox, you play for the Yankees, you play for a team like that, you're just a bigger deal. You know, other players could have similar numbers. It's not the same as if you're a Red Sox or a Yankees or, I don't know, maybe in some cases the Dodgers or something, or Cubs, whatever. You're just a bigger deal, right? And he just spits it out. He says, I'll give you an example of that. If you put Derek Jeter in Kansas City all those years, he was just a regular player. And of course, Yankee fans soiled themselves at that thought that Derek Jeter was just a regular player. Derek Jeter was a great player. The point Manny Ramirez was making was great players go to die in Kansas City. I said it. I mean, let's do this. What would Salvador Perez be today if he'd been the Yankees catcher the last 10 years? He'd be the biggest star in baseball. He's already a huge star. People know him even though he's here. He'd be the biggest star in baseball if he was with the Yankees. So I sort of get what Manny Ramirez was saying. What the Yankee fans didn't like was the put down that he was just a regular player. And if he'd been somewhere else, he wouldn't have been any kind of a Hall of Famer. He'd have been in Kansas City. That would have been nice, but not like playing for the Yankees and having all these games against the Red Sox. I've never really thought about it like that. I didn't look up Jeter's stats. If Jeter had the stats that he had here, you'd take away a lot of the postseason stuff where he was most famous with postseason heroics and things like that. You'd be taking that away because he would have toiled in Kansas City for at least 7 years and probably not been in the playoffs. The Royals were so bad during Jeter's years, that Jeter here would have done nothing. It wouldn't have helped the Royals at all. They might have won two or three more games a year, and that's it. They were really, really, really bad. I just thought it was interesting to hear Manny Ramirez say it that way and hear a player say it. If you put Jeter in Kansas City back in those years, he was just a regular player. Hey, it really doesn't hurt a Red Sox hero to go on a broadcast and make fun of a Yankee. It doesn't really hurt you. Now, Man Ram may have some explaining to do when he sees Jeter next time, but other than that, I guess who really cares? That's fun stuff. Oakland's in town this weekend to take on the Royals. It is June 24th, folks. As we record this podcast, it is June 24th. Zach Greinke will be the Royals' starting pitcher on June 24th. He's looking for his first win this year. Zach Greinke takes the mound. He's back from his flexor strain. Zach Greinke, the big free agent signing, the $13 million contract, the rock, the steady hand to bring along the young pitchers. Zach Greinke is looking for his first win against the A's on Friday night. This is the big slick weekend. They'll have the softball game this afternoon before the game tonight. They'll have the big events this weekend. Rob Riggle's here. Ant-Man's here. Paul Rudd, they're all here. Kechner is here. They're all here. Ted Lasso is not here. Jason Sudeikis, because they're filming Ted Lasso as we speak. So, fun weekend for the Royals. They clearly match up well against Oakland. They should be able to get some wins. We'll see how it goes. Not that down on it. I just can't believe it's June 24th and Zach Greinke is looking for his first win. That seems absolutely remarkable to me, yet true. Okay, there's another Manning that plays football. You probably know this already. Arch Manning is a high school senior to be, right? Arch Manning is the, is he Cooper's kid? He's Eli and Peyton's nephew. He's Archie Manning's grandson. And he went on Twitter for the first time on Thursday and put out his first tweet ever, announcing that he's going to the University of Texas. Some people say this is a game changer for the Texas program. Some people like me are thinking this is the worst decision that young man could have made. I'm going to ask a question. I'm the only person that you're ever going to hear ask this. Arch Manning's going to be famous. For good or for bad, he's going to be famous. Like, he's the first player in the history of 247 sports to get a perfect recruiting score. 1.0000, perfect score. He's the first player ever. So we're talking about a quarterback that is projected to be the best player in football in, decades. Or maybe a decade. Like, surefire, this is an NFL quarterback. He's not only is he athletic and great and all those things, he got all the pedigree. He knows more about football because of his family than other quarterbacks. You can't miss with this guy. The only way to miss is to go to freaking Texas. Steve Sarkisian's the coach down there. He's been a mess throughout his career. Personal mess. Texas is a mess. It's a hard place to play. They're never as good as they're supposed to be. I'm asking this question. Will Arch Manning start one game for the Texas Longhorns? Now, nobody's talking like that, but with the transfer portal and all the different things, I don't know what was promised him. I don't know how much money he's getting. What if Texas goes out this year and goes 6-6 or 7-5 and it starts to fall apart and the people at Texas are like, well, we're going to keep this coach? What's happening here? I don't know what's going to happen. This isn't Arch Manning committing to Alabama and Nick Saban. Those were his other choices, by the way. Alabama wanted him badly. Georgia, the national champions, wanted him badly. He's going to Texas. He's following his own route. He didn't go to Ole Miss like his uncle. He didn't go to Tennessee like his other uncle. He's following his own path and going to Texas. I understand why. Texas, Austin's cool. Texas is fun. They're throwing money at players like crazy. They're going to wind up having, they should wind up being able to pay players more at Texas than any program in the country that isn't named Notre Dame. And whether or not Notre Dame wants to do it, it's up to them. But Texas should be right at the top of money flowing. And that's probably what this is. They probably outbid everybody. But I think in this landscape, this climate, I'm just going to go ahead and ask the question, will Arch Manning ever start a game for the Texas Longhorns? I mean, I'll put it 75% chance he will. But I'm the guy who told you when Nigel Pack at K-State this spring started looking around at the NBA, this and that, and I said, hey, listen, there's a transfer portal. There's all kinds of stuff. Bruce Weber's been fired or going to be fired. You know, I put it at 70-30. He'd be back at K-State, but I put 70% back. I had it inverted. I was completely wrong. Nigel Pack should have been 70% he's leaving, 30% he's staying. I may have this one wrong. It may be 70% Arch Manning never plays for Texas and 30% he does. I don't know. I don't know how to put numbers on these things, but I do think they're important questions to ask, and nobody wants to do that. They always want to jump up and down and scream and go, ooh, Arch Manning signed. He's going to Texas. Isn't that exciting? Well, maybe. Get back to me in 2 years when he starts a game. Let me know. It's just too hard to get excited over recruiting anymore. My alma mater's having a big year in football. They got the Gatorade Player of the Year out of Kansas yesterday. That's awesome. I think he's going to play at K-State. I don't think he's going to wind up transferring. I think they worked out a deal. There's some money going to him. The parents are happy. They're waiting on the quarterback out of Mays, Kansas, to make up his mind. And if that hits, the dominoes may topple. Kansas State may have the best recruiting class in football history this year. They may. They get the quarterback and the other pieces come. It may be the best class they've ever had. But you got to ask the question, how many of them are going to be there long enough to start and be part of the team and play there? You just have to ask the question. With the transfer portal the way it is, you just have to ask it. You don't know what happens. And if you play a year and you're really good, what keeps you from transferring and taking millions of dollars to go somewhere else? It's a difficult situation. It's difficult. I don't even know how to handicap whether or not Arch Manning actually starts for Texas. I don't know how to handicap that. But they all say he can't miss. He's going to be great. He's going to be the next big thing in the NFL. I'll believe them when they say it. Going to Texas, there is nothing historically that says you've made a good decision here by going to Texas to help your pro career. You've done none of that. Alabama would have been a much safer place to land, assuming that Saban is going to coach 4 or 5 more years. Much safer place. KKHI is brought to you by Buck Roofing and Construction. Ron Buck and his team are available 24/7 for emergencies. So you can sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. Call for your free inspection. It's been raining all week. You're seeing drips and spots. 913-384-2680. Ron Buck is the best of the biz. He'll work anywhere within 3 hours of Kansas City or so. So if you live in a rural area, Buck Roofing will come to you. Call the number 913-384-2680. Doug Horn over at Horn Law is providing a public service this summer for teen drivers with a free book called Teen Driver Protection, Tips for Keeping Your Child Safe Behind the Wheel. There's three things that happen in the first 1,500 miles of a young person's driving life. They lack the ability to scan the road, to look and know where to look in mirrors and get a feel for where the cars are, to detect hazards or other vehicles. They frequently, for certain road conditions, drive too fast and don't know it. They don't do it on purpose. This would be construction zones, rainy days, things like that. They're going too fast for road conditions. And they get distracted by something inside or outside the vehicle. These are key points in the book. And they're things that you need to know with your young drivers. The book stresses the quality supervised driving matters. Once your kid starts driving, don't give up on them. Don't quit. Hand them the keys. If you're all going to dinner tonight, the whole family, say you drive and see how they're doing, especially in the first 1,500 miles. These sound like really simple things. Big payoffs. We've got to avoid more serious collisions with teen drivers. Doug Horn wants to help. Go to hornlaw.com and get the book free. At least check it out online. Sit down at the computer, open up the laptop, and look through it with your kid or your grandchild. Print it out. Get the book. It's all free. hornlaw.com. Appreciate what Doug's doing this summer there. Cross Kitchens KC, Tim Cross and his family would love to remodel your kitchen. They'd love the opportunity to earn your business. They want to treat you like a family and not like a number. Not some big corporate deal that you see splattered all over TV and everywhere else with massive million-dollar ad campaigns. That's not Cross Kitchens. Tim and Brittany own the company, husband and wife. They're on it. They're on your project. That's pretty cool. The craftsmen that work for Tim have been with him for a long time. Most of them 10 years. Quality matters. Getting the job done in a timely fashion absolutely matters. CrossKitchensKC.com, 816-898-7047. On to the news. We've got an 18%. I love how when gas prices go up, we find out how much is cooked into the sauce. All the excise taxes, state taxes, local taxes, federal taxes, how much we pay in tax every time we pump a gallon of gas. So the Democrats, for all these years, have been bilking us out of money with gas because it's good for their projects like funding abortion and things like that, right? So they've been taking all this money, misspending it, misappropriating it, doing all these things. And now that gas prices are so high they may lose elections, they're like, oh, we're overtaxing the people. Let's put a freeze on this. He wants to do a 90-day freeze. I mean, what's the freeze going to be, right through the election? Freeze the 18%. So if you got a 15-gallon tank, most of you maybe bigger than that, but whatever, 15-gallon tank, that's going to save you $2.70 a tank. I don't know how often you fill up. I drive less than I used to, so I don't fill up all that often. $2.70 a tank isn't nothing. I won't say that. And would it add up over the course of a year? Yeah, it would. Is this really something we should be doing? No, it's not the solution. The solution is more drilling and more refining in America. Open the refineries, open the pipelines, drill, baby, drill. Let's go. But this is a man who needs a note card every day. He really botched it yesterday. He showed the entire world his whole note card. It's a nifty little card. I want to take a little different take on this. I have no problem that the president takes a note card with him to certain events when he doesn't have a teleprompter. I really don't. If he took his own note card and wrote down, handwrote a couple of notes, hey, this is how it's going to go. Don't forget to mention this, this, and this. Write down three key points for this little event. I have no problem with that. I will frequently take an index card when I do a speaking engagement. And not always, but a lot of times if it's something important, I'll put four or five things down. Hey, remember these. And I'll just say the topic. Topic is Biden's note card. Like I literally have written up, I do the whole podcast with one piece of paper. I have written down, just so I don't forget, it's all in order. The podcast is in order every day. I have written down Biden note card, dot, 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 not about carrying notes. That's it. So then I discuss that. And I say, it isn't about him having a note card. You heard me start that. That's where I want to go with this. It isn't about the note card. It's the way they talk to him. It's what's written on the note card and the way they write it. It's like sending your two-year-old or four-year-old to preschool with a little card, and the way they talk to him is ridiculous. It's absurd. The whole note card, if you haven't seen it, is ridiculous. If he wants his own note card, have him jot down with his pen a couple things, that'd be fine. The way they handle him and treat him is embarrassing. It really isn't about the note card. I don't mind the guy having a note card. That doesn't bother me so much. Just, it should be his note card. He should be saying, this is what I'm going to do. You're not going to hand this to me and say, go do this like a robot. That's what has the American people really bothered here, is that they know he's not in charge in any way. We have a president that's not in charge. We know that. And what really is frustrating to Americans is who is in charge? Who's making all these decisions? Is it Ron Klain, chief of staff? I don't know. We don't know. We assume these are all just Obama people, and maybe Obama, who said famously, publicly said in an interview, you know, I don't really like being president that much. What I'd really like to do is sit in my house and just call all the shots. He said that in an interview. And I think he's doing it. And his people are executing it. That's what I think is happening. And whatever happens to Biden, happens to Biden. Nobody really cares. But it's every single day it's embarrassing. This is as simple as, instead of an index card like I have right here, instead of an index card, what about like a greeting card? It's blank, but it opens up like a book, right? You know what I'm talking about? So we're going to have four sides to this piece of paper. It would be a card that opens up. The outside, two panels on the outside are both blank. The inside left is blank. The inside right has his instructions. If you gave him that, he's not going to turn that around and show it to the media. Is he? Maybe I'm giving him too much credit. I mean, this isn't hard. These people are dumb. They don't know what they're doing. If the problem is he keeps showing his card, hand him a card that opens. He can open it and reference it at any point and close it back up. What's wrong with these people? That's like communications 101. High school kids could figure this out. We got people running the country that cannot keep the president of the United States from exposing his note card that they've prepared for him, where they talk to him like he's a third grader. It's so embarrassing. Oh, you got to hear this cut. This is great. This might be the best part of your day. Here we go. Carrie Lake is running for governor in Arizona. She was for 22 years the lead anchor on Fox 10 in Phoenix. We watched her for many years, all our time that we've spent in Phoenix. We've watched her as the news anchor. This is another member of the media that's conservative, that doesn't like being in the media anymore. She's jumping from anchor to governor. She ain't messing around now. She's going to run for governor of Arizona, and right now she's got a 7-point lead in the Republican primary. So it looks like she's going to be the Republican nominee, and she is, I'll just say it right now, she's a badass. It's weird because in her past, there were times she was an independent. I think at one point she said she voted for Obama, but you're in the media. I'm not excusing that. I've never voted for a Democrat in my life. Like, I knew my first election. Jimmy Carter made it very easy for me. You're not voting for that party. I watched Carter for 4 years and then was eligible to vote. And I was like, I'm never voting for that party. That was easy for me. A lot of people are experiencing that now, and it becomes easy for them. I don't know, Kari Lake, but she's as conservative as they get now. And I feel like she's probably free and no longer in the media, and she's just so happy to be herself. She's obviously skilled in front of the camera. She has the ability to do things impromptu, and she's quick-witted. Kari Lake is walking into an event. She's got a couple of her handlers around her, and a reporter from CNN comes up to her, and I'm sorry, Lou. I think the last name of this reporter is Lou, L-U-H, and she stalks Kari Lake and has tried to get her to do interviews before. What you're going to hear here is, hi, do you have a moment to answer a couple questions? First thing you're going to hear is Kari Lake turning to this lady saying, oh, you have no mask on. So when she sees her, the lady running for governor of Arizona sees the CNN reporter, the first thing she does is take a shot at her for not wearing a mask. You got to hear this. This is just so good. Roll that beautiful bean footage.
Hi,
Harry.
Hi.
Hi. Nice to see you.
You don't have a mask on anymore. What's
we're
going
outside.
On?
Do you have a
wow.
minute to
well,
chat?
We're 6 feet apart.
Do you have a minute to chat?
I'll do an interview. As long as it airs on CNN Plus. Does that still exist? Yeah. I didn't think so, because the people don't like what you guys are peddling, which is propaganda. Thank you.
That's involuntary servitude.
Oh, there's the best part of your day right there. Kari Lake running for governor in Arizona. She's got Trump's endorsement. She hammers the lady from CNN. Well, you don't have a mask on. And then she says, yeah, I'll answer a few questions, but only if it's on CNN Plus. Does that still exist? Oh my God, it was so good. And then she says, all you people are propaganda, and we ain't buying it out here in Arizona. That is so good. CNN previously called Kari Lake, quote, a proud spreader of lies, unquote. Why would you do an interview with an organization that said you're a proud spreader of lies? Kari Lake's a badass. I'm just going to say it. Go, Kari, go. Win this thing, and the sky's the limit. She literally, I'm telling you right now, she's 52 years old. She is so at ease in front of the camera. She is so smart and quick-witted. She is literally, I mean, do we say rising star? We're talking about somebody here that is 52 years old and could easily, if she wins governor in 2028, could run for president. And a lot of people would pay attention to that. Trust me. She has it. It's pretty cool to see. There are stars everywhere in our party. You know why? You know what? Like, it's a two-horse race now for president. New Hampshire poll comes out on Thursday. DeSantis is now leading Trump 39-37 in New Hampshire. Pence, Haley, Pompeo, they shouldn't run. Just stay out of it. It's a two-horse race. And it really depends on whether Trump and DeSantis broker a deal. Our dream ticket, of course, has been Trump runs, DeSantis vice president. Then DeSantis can take the mantle from there. I think we all see that if that worked out, that would be a wonderful thing to have happen. I gotta ask myself this. If I'm Donald Trump and I start to see polling that DeSantis is going to beat me in the primary, why run? Why even run the chance of not winning again? Then you're known as a two-time loser. Let the sleeping dog lie. You were president. You changed a political party forever. You created MAGA. You created Ron DeSantis. You created Kari Lake. You're creating all these people. You've done what has not happened in our lifetime is that you're taking the best of America, the best and the brightest private citizens to leave what they're doing and get involved, get off their ass and go make a difference. It's a calling. Kari Lake, she's living in Scottsdale, folks. She's got a big job anchoring the news. It's a great life. And she said, I'll go out here and take the bullets. Let's try. Let's do this because Arizona needs it. She believes the election in Arizona was a complete fraud in 2020. And she's running on that. She's winning on that. So that makes this really interesting. But we've got all these unbelievably great candidates. They're winners. They're winners that have reached their 40s and 50s and said, there's got to be something better than this. I got to help. I have to save my country. I've done my career. I've taken care of my family in every way possible. Now I need to try to help America in any way that I can. And I love seeing that. I love it. The Blue Mont Hotel in Manhattan is your go-to location for business travel, school travel. You go on a visit with your kid to go see the campus, stay the night at the Blue Mont Hotel, take them to Goolsby's. They've got a lot of indoor entertainment there. It's a lot of fun. Duck pin bowling, golf simulators. Really cool spot, relaxed environment, nice people at the Bluemont Hotel. It's the best hotel in Manhattan. It's not close. It's also the best location in Manhattan. We hope you'll give it strong consideration next time you're there, or if you're headed there this summer for a ball tournament, or if you want to get some buddies, do a day trip, go to Colbert Hills, play a little golf, go on out there, play some golf, stay at the Bluemont. You'll love it. There's a lot of restaurants right there in walking distance in Aggieville. They have their own restaurant right there. Of course, with Goolsby's, you'll love it. They got 30 beer taps on the wall. You pour your own. It's good stuff. You're going to enjoy it. The Bluemont Hotel and Goolsby's in Manhattan. And Finch Knife Company online at finchknifeco.com. Available locally in Shields and Overland Park, the Bullet Hole, and Teague Tractor in Belton. Finch Knife Company, keep life from getting dull. The new 1929 collection is out. It is a remodeled collection. They had it previously. They're putting new handles on all of them. And these will be available right around the 4th of July. See the website for more information about 1929 knives from Finch Knife Company, an homage to the Grand Tetons. Ooh, that's the prettiest place I've been in America. I said it. Grand Tetons right there at Jackson Lake. When they reflect, the sun is out and they reflect off the water. It's the prettiest thing I've seen. It's just the prettiest, and like Lake Tahoe's gorgeous. There's a lot of beaches. There's a lot of beautiful places. Seen a lot of great things in this country. There's nothing more spectacular than the Grand Tetons. Now you have a pocket knife to honor that. FinchKnifeCo.com. All right, so we talked about the polling and how DeSantis has a lead in New Hampshire over Trump. This doesn't surprise me. Many of the people that I talked to, I just spoke with another guy this week who said, no, I'd still vote for Trump. I said, okay. I'm running about 5-1 with friends that I ask, would you vote for DeSantis or Trump? If they were both running in a primary, almost everyone I know says they'd vote for DeSantis. There's two things they like about DeSantis. They like that he's younger, and they think he's more electable. They just do. And you know, everybody likes the backup quarterback, right? That's the sports analogy. Unless you have Patrick Mahomes on your team, everybody likes the backup quarterback. That's an adage in the NFL. You all want the next guy to play because you're not winning games now. Put the other quarterback in. Let's try that. Some of that, we're not winning right now. Let's try the backup quarterback. Here's the crazy part on this poll in New Hampshire. Last October, same poll, Trump 43, DeSantis 18. Now, Trump's still at 37, so we only got 6% switched. So where did DeSantis get all these numbers? Man, Pence, Haley, Pompeo, all these others, their polling numbers are so low, like Pompeo's 1% or something. Their numbers are so low, it's crazy. So a lot of this is just DeSantis growth, obviously, in the polling. Trump's number hanging strong, 37%. That sounds about right, 39, 37. I don't know how this deal is going to get brokered. It's clearly going to have to be the two men sitting down deciding what are we going to do. Because as terrible as it sounds, Ron DeSantis, if you're going to do this, you strike while the iron is hot in politics. If you're going to do it, you have to do it when you can win. Ron DeSantis knows right now he has a great chance to beat Trump in a primary. I would have never thought that was possible. He absolutely has that chance. He does. Trump knows that. Do they broker a deal? There could be one of three deals. The deal is no deal. We're going to run against each other. The deal is I'm running without you, Ron, and you'll be my vice president. Or the deal is Trump says, I don't think I can beat him. I'm out. And supports DeSantis. I don't know. All I know is we got too many good candidates on the right now, and they don't have nearly enough on the left. So it should be fascinating going forward. I appreciate you very much. I'm so blessed and thankful. Jessica and I talk about it all the time. We've had some family things going on this week, some health issues that we've been dealing with, not her and I, but our family. And you just, when things happen and you spend time together, not like around the holidays, like, okay, there's a little prayer involved and you want good outcomes and things like that. When that occurs, you're just more thankful for the things you have and you're a little more real. And we spent some time this week talking about that. And we're so grateful to know that you're here every day and listening and sharing the message with other people and letting them know about the podcast. And a step further is considering the opportunity to use our sponsors, because that's what makes the whole thing possible. So you're incredible. God bless you. Have a great weekend. And if you want to sign up to become a patron, we'll do a patron podcast on Friday and then the newsletter on Saturday. You'll get those two items very quickly in short order here this weekend if you want to do that. As we work 6 days a week here at KKHI, this is not some slipshod operation, part-time deal. No, we're there. We're with you, and we're so glad that you were with us and helping us spread the word that Kevin Keatsman has issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.